Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Happy Mother's Day. Today's readings from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For there your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Morning. I think we could end the service right now. I don't know whether I could add to it. The song leading this morning and the songs chosen, thanks Ben for choosing those songs. They were absolutely fantastic and we've had a great time of worship together. But there's more, so we won't go home just yet. And you know what struck me as well? When Ian was talking, how great George laughs. He's got an open soul that he just tells everybody about in the way that he can. And his laughter is infectious. And, it's great to hear George, and I love hearing you laugh. And I want to hear what you're laughing about so that we can all laugh about it. So today's sermon is about kingdom's people living in God's kingdom. So welcome to those people that are watching online and welcome those that are here. But, you know, it's Mother's Day, and so I too have to acknowledge all the mothers that are here. But some people, their mothers may not be here anymore, or there's some people that may not be able to become mothers. And so it's not always a celebratory day. Some people might find a bit of sadness in Mother's Day because mothers are gone, they're just memories. But I pray that God will comfort you and provide you reassurance at this time. But I wanted to do a quick survey. So I know there's quite a few mothers, but I want to find out who the longest mother is. So who's the mother with the oldest children? And then I want to see who has got the youngest or the shortest time mother. So I want you, the mothers, so the newest mothers, all right? So I think everyone's looking up the back there, so I don't know why that would be. So if you have a child who is over 50, as a mother, can you put your hand up, please? Okay, so we have two. Okay, what about 60? A 60-year-old? Yeah? Okay, I think it's you, Bev. No, sorry, Dawn. Sorry, the other Bev. Dawn. Okay, so we know who the longest mother is. Well, she's the only one who put her hand up. And the newest mother, who's got a child under one? Okay, under two. Well, Beck's technically a mother now with her second child, so that's under one. So whether you go technically or physically, okay. So who's a child under two? Okay, so I have a gift for you both. Dawn, you can choose first. So I bought you the Mother's Day mug, the traditional Mother's Day mug. So which one would you like? You'd like the younger one? So you get the older one. And Hillary chose this, so because I got stuck at work yesterday. So congratulations to you both. So, okay, today we're looking at Matthew, which looks at the kingdom's people investing in God's kingdom. Rodney made a comment last week as he was preaching about hypocrisy, that he felt that Ian had chosen him for a particular reason to speak about that. And the same way today, that's how I feel, that he's picked me to speak about this particular lesson. Now, I've got the added pressure of having Ian in the room, so he's staring at me. But he's offered to go to sleep for me, so yeah. And you can listen to it at a later time. Now, I wouldn't say that I have many treasures in a material sense, but, you know, we're probably quite well off in the world today. But I do have a lot of tools, and particularly drills. Now, you can't have too many tools, yeah? Can't have too many tools, especially when your daughter worked at Bunnings and you got a discount. So I have a lot of drills, and I think I've got about six. I've got two normal drills. I've got a hammer drill, an impact drill, a rotary drill. But you need them all for those particular types of jobs. I also have a boat. Now, boat, many people would think that a boat is a word, right? B-O-A-T. But it's actually an acronym for bring out another thousand. Okay? Now, owning a boat is not something one should decide on the spur of the moment, especially in Melbourne with our four seasons in one day. They're costly to maintain, they're a pain to store, and they're a lot of work to for upkeep. Owning a boat, in a sense, becomes a lifestyle choice. If you want to get the full benefits from having one, you have to invest a lot of time in using it. And it's not just you, it's your whole family as well. One of my Navy cadets, he's been missing for a couple of months, and so I rang him the other day to say, why are you not coming to cadets? And he lives in Williamstown, and I'm thinking getting caught in my collar. So he lives in Williamstown, and he's into sailing, and he's got a wealthy family, and he is like 13 years of age, and his mum told me he's got a new boat, and he's been out sailing every single day after school in his new boat. Now, in itself, that's probably okay, but at 13, this is his fifth boat. He's got five boats. Okay, so he's putting in his time and his energies into the things that he loves. So he's not coming to cadets at the moment because he's just sailing. We do a sailing program, but we can't get out on the water for various reasons. So 13 and five boats. Now, in relation to the mugs, my wife is in a particular role, and we have accumulated numerous mugs over the years. And I went to the cupboard the other day and I opened it up and I started counting, and 20, 40, 50. I got to about 50 mugs in our cupboard. Now, they're not all hers. Some of them are our kids, but you know, a lot of those come from work gifts or Mother's Day stores. We've got a cupboard full of them. We almost have to do our kitchen extension just to store our mugs. So to the mothers that I've given to a cup to, so Dawn, I apologise for adding to your collection. And Natalie, I probably started yours. Okay. But, you know, we accumulate things without even knowing that we've accumulated them sometimes. They just, we buy something, we put it away, then we can't find it, we go and buy something else again because, and then you find that and then you've got two and they sit in the cupboard. I know this man, I'll call him Bob because I don't want to use his real name because of what I do. He's got two houses and he's a bit of a strange cat. One house is his mum's and the other house is his, but he doesn't live in his mum's house since she passed away. Now, some of my work colleagues have been to his house, and when you walk in the door, if you can imagine a hallway, he's got things piled up like this high in every single room of his house. And to walk, he's got little narrow passageways where you have to kind of walk sideways to get through them. And this is his treasure. And he started doing that in his own house. Not only is it just inside his house, it's outside of his house as well. There's couches and TVs and cars and all sorts of things just accumulating. It's not a very good lifestyle for Bob, if you've been into his new house. But that's what he, and that's what his treasure is. The world we live in today tells us that we have to have more, doesn't it? It's full of commercialism. We constantly get bombarded on television with commercials, radio advertising, billboards, bus stops, trains, magazines, newspapers telling us what we need to have. And, you know, on the late night TV, you get those bombarded with those 30-minute ads that just go on and on and on and saying that your life will be richer if only you bought this. Often you end up buying the product and later you realise that you don't really need it or it doesn't meet your expectations and you're only really in it for the thrill of the purchase. I'm guilty of that. Anyone else? Cool. At least some of you are honest. So thanks for being honest. In the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, one of my favourite series, just for the action and the sailing and all that sort of stuff, we see Captain Jack Sparrow, who's played by Johnny Depp. He's always searching for something, and particularly treasure, as pirates do. And if you've seen the show, he pulls out this compass. And the compass just spins wildly. It doesn't kind of settle on north. It just spins and spins and spins. And it's because this particular compass only works when you kind of tell it your heart's desire. It points to what your heart desires. So if he says, you know, I'm looking for my ship, the Black Pearl, he tells it that and it points him in the direction where he needs to go. If he's looking for the treasure, it tells him where to go. If he's looking for a port, it tells him where to go. So it's what, and it's what's in his mind. So it's whatever he desires is the desire of their heart. But it constantly changes, so it doesn't really know where he really wants to go, what his real treasure is, because that's always changing as well. He's never satisfied. He might get to his treasure, but then he's off on the next adventure, chasing that next treasure. Or he gives the compass to somebody else to see what their heart desires so that he can go after that as well. Matthew 19, 16 to 23. I've jumped a page. Sorry. Hillary numbered them for me, but I turned it over. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Says to us, do not store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, treasures can be anything. They can be material possessions. They can be your time. Can be your energies. It's what you're investing yourself in. And if those treasures are taking up all of your thoughts, all of and consume you, where's time for God? If God isn't in your treasure and all the worldly things, the possessions, you know, the biggest houses, the best furnishings, chasing down the new cars. Now, I think it's a generational thing, but, and I'm going to put an age of under 30. Sorry for you guys under 30. But they always seem to need to have the latest mobile phone. They line up outside the stores, or they put pre-purchase orders in, or the latest gaming consoles, but they've got to have it as soon as it comes out. And same with clothing. How many of these puffer jackets have you seen in the world? I think Kathmandu have made a fortune on them. And I've got one too. Because they're warm. Especially in Melbourne. So I'm not saying that, you know, having new things isn't okay. God knows that we need a house over our roof. God knows that we need clothing. But it's your thought process. What thought is going into what you're doing with yourself, what you're purchasing with your the wealth that God's given you? Are you investing your time in the here and now? Are you investing your time in God's kingdom? Is it a short-term fix for your time here, or is it a long-term goal of your treasure being stored up in heaven? Where's your focus? Do you have the same drive and dedication in storing up these treasures in heaven as you do on earth? I suggest to you, if the answer is no, and I'm speaking to myself as well, then we really need to ask ourselves, where does God fit into our lives? Treasures here on earth are compromised. Who's got woolen jumpers? Yeah, maybe not young people. A lot of older people have woolen jumpers. They sit on the shelves sometimes for maybe 4, 5, 6 months of the year, and you pull one out and you find a big hole in it because moths have eaten away at it. Who's found that? I'm glad you all have. It's not just us. Okay, who's left their tools out in the rain and they've become rusty? Thank you. Or they've been stolen by thieves. Anyone been broken into? We have a few years ago. Not very nice feeling, but somebody liked your stuff better than you do. Or you've just simply lost them. Either your earthly treasure is going to perish, or you do before they do. But either way, they eventually perish. Matthew 6:19 tells us the parable of the rich young man. The man says to Jesus, "What must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus tells the man that he must keep the commandments. And the man replies that he's done this, but what do I still lack? And Jesus tells him to go and sell all his possessions to the poor and to follow him. Now the man walks away. He was quite sad because he had great wealth. He was not prepared to let go of his treasures that he'd stored up on earth. They were more important to him than the treasures of heaven. He was living more in the here and now. And this man, he was a Jewish man, but he was used to obeying the Ten Commandments. So he'd kept those since he was young as being part of the law. So he followed the law with his mind, but he didn't follow it with his heart. And when Jesus said to him, "Well, no, you need to change your thinking a little bit. It's your heart that needs to lead you into the decisions that you make. And your heart needs to be following me first rather than following everything of this world." That's another joke from George. I'm going to have to move Jess, I think. where was I? What motivates you as you follow Jesus today? And I'm not just talking about material possessions, all right? These are the things in your life. You know, you can break your life down to 8 hours of sleep, work and play. It's 24 hours maybe, except for your sleeping, but that's 16 hours of the day that you can go, "Well, God, what would you like me to do with my time today?" Or do you get to the end of the day and you say, "Well, God, thanks for another great day. I haven't really done much for you, but maybe I'll get up tomorrow and I'll do that." God needs to be part of your day every single day, and he deserves your first fruits. A little bit later in Matthew 6:25, Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than them?" Jesus knows his people. He knows our needs, and he meets our needs when we choose to follow him. To experience the treasure stored up for us in heaven, we need to put God in our lives and commit all to him. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "But we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. In Matthew 22:37 says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. To seek first the kingdom of God, love God with your whole heart. Those things, I'm guessing in today's world, don't come easy. They don't come naturally. We are constantly bombarded with other things to do. You know, sometimes it probably would have been easier to live in Jesus' day where you didn't have as much choice. You know, when it got dark, it was dark. You had no light to switch on. You couldn't extend your daylight hours. But we need to seek first God's kingdom and to love the Lord your God with all your heart. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it also says, to trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. The more we focus on the Lord, the more blurred the things that distract us will become. And again, Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet your needs according to his riches in glory. You see, God gives us our desires, but when we trust in him and when our hearts are in our right place. So some questions to ponder. Where is your treasure? Are you looking for the short-term fix, the short-term gain of treasure here on earth? Or is your treasure going to last for eternity? Tough question. Is God part of your life? Is God your whole life? Do you love God with all your being? Or do you fit God in on Sundays or special events or when things don't go your way that you'd hoped, and then you cry out to him? Or just following Jesus, a rule that you need to follow? Or is it motivated by your heart? In verse 21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, American pastor, Baptist pastor Phil Newton, he summarizes this verse this way. It says, those things that we value most can identify the Christian rather than finding material goods, public honour, prestige, or attention to be the most valued. The Christian values his relationship to Christ above all else. He finds his greatest pleasure in those things that are pleasing to God. His heart can be found in love, devotion, obedience, and worship of Christ. And the metaphor shifts, but the same basic themes remain. Christ as all, our all, in all. In 6:22-33, the focus shifts to our eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? When I first read these verses, I thought, oh yeah, they're pretty simple. Thanks, Ian, you gave me an easy one to do. But as I got into it, I thought, oh no, these are quite hard verses to work out, especially this particular part. In Luke 11:34-35, it says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But when they are bad, your whole body is also full of darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be completely lighted as when the light of a lamp shines upon you. Can't be both. You can't have light and darkness. It's one or the other. C.H. Spurgeon says, for the eye to be useful, it was to be viewed as a single thing. So some people can. Some people can look this way with one eye and look this way with the other eye. And I'm glad we don't do that because we probably end up laughing too much. But that's not very nice, I suppose. But it's to be used as a single eye. We're supposed to fix our eyes on the one thing. It's not categorised by double vision. What does an eye do? It enables one to see their way, but it must be a clear eye to fulfil this function. Jesus uses the term bad eye in a figurative sense, teaching that such an eye tries to focus on worldly possessions or material gain and God at the same time, which confuses the person. It's spiritual double vision, and they cannot see their way clearly as they walk through life. Jesus' main point is that believers must maintain a clear eye, a single eye, giving God our sole focus or attention. To see where you're going, you need to have these clear eyes, otherwise you're just stumbling in darkness. You can't focus, you're distracted. You need both eyes fixed on the one object, and that object needs to be Jesus. It's just like a sprinter in a race. He focuses his eyes on the finish line because that's where he needs to go. If you ever drive a car, if you look outside the window to the right because your attention's been caught by something, you start to drift to the right. Anyone notice that? Because it's true. Okay, so you need to focus on the finish line. You can't be distracted. We need to keep our eyes both on the finish line. And the songwriter puts it this way: to turn your eyes upon Jesus and to look fully into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, all these distractions that are in our life, and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who's the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The last bit of the reading from Matthew talks about some choices that we need to make. Now, we make them every day. Who hates making choices or finding them hard to make? Oh, I'm glad some do. So choices can be quite simple ones. So who likes ice cream? Your choices you can have, either vanilla or chocolate. But that's all your choice, nothing else. No choc mint, no mixtures, can't have both. You can only have one. So do you choose one that you don't really want? Or do you not have any? Melbourne kind of mentality. Football, who chose Essendon to beat Collingwood on Anzac Day? You know, and was that a choice of your heart or was that a choice of your head? Some choices we don't have to make because they get made for us, and others we have to make eventually, but we just procrastinate and put them off. By sometimes not making a choice, and the choice gets made for us. You cannot sit on a fence in every choice that you need to make, and choices often make consequences, or often have consequences. 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Here we get presented with the two choices, the choice of the love of God or the love of money, or the love of possessions on earth. There is no other choice to choose from. If we choose wisely, then our treasure in heaven is our reward. If we choose incorrectly or we don't choose at all, then we, like our treasure, will also perish. In this case, if we don't make a choice, then the choice gets made for us, don't we? Doesn't it? We read in the letter from the Church of Laodicea in Revelations chapter 3, "Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing.' But you don't realise that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that your eyes can see." So even with just the possessions that we've purchased or accumulated ourselves, if they're our, if we see them as our possessions, then Jesus would say that we're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. We haven't realised that all our possessions that we have come from God. And it's only until we see God and put God first and thank him for our possessions, or you know, our heart is in God, not treasures. If our heart's in God, then our eyes will be open and we'll be able to see that what we have is everlasting. So in Joshua 24, verse 15, he makes a choice. And his choice, it says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Is that the choice that you have made this morning? To finish up, and Ian wrote the newsletter this week, and I'm sorry, Rachel, busy week. Jesus tells the story of the man who found the treasure buried, reburied it, and then went and sold everything he had to buy the field so that the treasure could be his. He saw the value of the treasure, and he knew that he would give literally everything he had to get it. Is this the way that you feel about knowing and following Jesus today? Is he worth investing everything you have in friends? Friends, Jesus wants us to see that knowing him is of such worth that we will invest our time, our money, our energies into knowing him more, and so that others can know and experience him as well. To do this, Jesus needs to become the highest treasure that you seek and the pearl of great price. If he's not your treasure, then I encourage you to make him that today in your life. So May is traditionally Missions Month, and Baptists from all around the world get into supporting mission or learning more about mission. So have you found this treasure that God gives? Are you one of God's people who are investing in God's kingdom? Or are you keeping your treasure hidden? Does your treasure come out on Sundays when you walk in the door here? And that's the only time that you spend investing time in your treasure? Or are you asking God to lead you in finding opportunities to serve him? Are you prepared, as it says in Luke 9:23, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Father, these words are yours. They're what you have written in your word, and they're what you've allowed me to share. But Father, they're words that are not easily followed. We need to change our shifting, dear Lord, to setting our eyes on you in everything, that be the first, that first thing that we focus on, Lord, rather than jumping into hasty decisions. So, Father, as we ponder on these words, we ask that you open up our hearts to ways that we can serve you and invest our times and our energies and our gifts and talents into serving you in this world. And we give you thanks for it now, in Jesus' name. Amen.